Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Full of energy and life.
Yay! A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Oh, we're not going to sing.
Well, we can sing.
Well, we already didn't sing.
We can sing. It's our show.
We already didn't sing.
All right, I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Episode number 49, September 18th, 2011.
Holy shit. So, what's new in your life, Carrie?
Not a whole figgity fuck of a lot. There's goofy stuff going on in my family that I can't talk about here. And, Josh saw The Big Lebowski yesterday, and I've been re-watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm in the middle of season 2. And, I wanted to make a small comment that Bill will find amusing, because when I was in Michigan, I commented that I've been having problems adjusting to the different things I have to do now that I'm pregnant, aka now that I've gained weight, where, you know, going upstairs, getting up, sitting down, you know, laying down, things that I tend to do quickly and just kind of pop up and down, I have to, like, remember to do more slowly and carefully, or else I injure myself. And then, and Bill said, pregnancy protocols, activate. And, you know, like, ever since then, I've been saying that to myself in my head, like, several times a day, every day, pregnancy protocols, activate, to try to get myself to do what I'm supposed to do and be careful with my body and not injure myself by, you know, standing up too quickly or whatever. So that it's only been a week and a half since our last episode. So yeah, that I have nothing.
Yeah, it's been 11 days. So
yeah, I have really nothing to report about life.
Yeah. And our next podcast, you know, won't be recorded until after I get back from Archon, so I'm not sure exactly when we'll do that, but it'll be at least a good, you know, 2 full weeks between now and the next one.
So probably 2.5 weeks.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as far as, like, doing it every other week, I'll post this one tomorrow, so, you know, it'll be, you know, it'll still be on the every other week thing, but it's just, you know, the last one was posted on a Friday, and this one's being posted on a Monday.
Yeah.
So, anyway, stuff I did. I did a couple of caricature gigs. One was in Belvedere, Illinois, which is near Rockford, and the other one, was in Brooklyn, Wisconsin. And, it's basically, like head up to Janesville and just start heading, west and a little bit north. And this, you know, it was for a wedding at somebody's, farmhouse and stuff. And It took a lot longer to get there than I thought it would. I don't know, it just seemed longer. And as I was driving there, I was reminded of, there was a friend I had in junior high school, possibly also freshman year of high school. His name was Brad Knight, and he was, you know, taller than me and wider than me and kind of a big fat guy. He's kind of like, you know how every stereotypical, you know, show about teenagers has, you know, the big guy.
The big guy.
Sometimes dumb, but just there's always like a, you know, the big guy there.
Yeah.
It's like he was kind of that for us. His mom, I can't remember exactly what she did. I think she was she worked at the school. Maybe she was the librarian or something. Anyway, she got a job somewhere else, and then they ended up moving away to a city called Monticello or Monticello, Wisconsin. And at least on a couple of occasions, I managed to talk my family into, you know, driving me out to, like, spend the weekend with him.
Uh-huh.
So that I could, you know, see my friend again. And as I was driving to Brooklyn, Wisconsin, and just checking out the countryside, I just kept being reminded of that, and I'm like, I wonder where the hell Monticello is, but because I was driving, I was getting to a gig. I didn't want to mess around with my phone or whatever. I'm just like, oh, well, and then, you know. So I went to the gig, worked there, you know, ended up staying an hour later than I was supposed to, but at least I got paid for it and made an extra $96 in tips on top of all that. So
cool.
That Saturday was a good day. Altogether, I made about $825 between the two gigs.
Wow.
So that's pretty stellar. Anyway, slight edit there. What was I saying? Yeah. So I leave the party and it's, you know, 9:30 at night, and I'm in the middle of, you know, Countryville, Wisconsin, and I'm driving back, and I need to get gas, and I'm, you know, tired from a really long day, and I want to get home, and I get to an intersection where I have to make a left, and I look and I see a sign that, you know, has like cities with arrows, and one of them said
Monticello
with an arrow to the right, and I'm like, oh man, if I didn't have, you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars in cash in my pocket, I'd, you know, drive over, you know, and also if I could figure out if it wasn't, you know, 20 miles in that direction, if it was nearby, I would have gone exploring. And when I got home, I looked up and I saw that I was only maybe 5 or 6 miles away from it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a really small town, and I don't know, I guess, like I said, I was tired, and I was, you know, after being robbed the previous week, I was concerned about having my cash taken from me by a bunch of, you know, hicks.
Yeah.
Who didn't like, you know, a city slicker coming in and poking around their town, you know, at 9:30 at night. So it was just kind of a little head trip for me to be like, man, I was so close to seeing this town that I, you know, hung out with a friend who I haven't talked to in years. It's like, I'd probably go to a phone book and try to look up his name and see if he's still living there.
Facebook.
Well, I can't remember if I've looked him up on Facebook. I probably have sometime in the past few years, because one day I did just kind of enter people's names. Unfortunately, the name Brad Knight is probably pretty common. In fact, I know at least one other guy who's named Brad Knight. It's a friend of Stefan.
Well, Ryan's. I mean, you can usually figure out if it's the right person.
If they have a picture with them.
If you think about it, Tara Myers is a really common name. But I figured out the one who I was friends with in grade school because she had listed her sister Tiana. And I remembered her sister's name, Tiana. So that was pretty, you know, there's a lot of times there's some sort of identifying information that can make you think, oh yeah, this is that person, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like Bob Johnson, you're kind of fucked, but you know.
Yeah. So I took the money I earned last weekend and I put it towards good practical uses, like reordering copies of my albums and Cirque du Soir albums for use at the conventions I'm doing next weekend and Archon. I used eBay to order some of the items I need for my Zen player, to be able to show videos, and just lots of other miscellaneous things that cost money. It's like using money as the tool it is to get things done or replaced or whatever. I got an oil change for my car, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah.
So,
do you ever have a problem where they never reset the maintenance required button when you get an oil change, and then it just goes off for like the next 2,000 miles? It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I need to reset that. I meant to do it right immediately, and then I totally forgot to. So
I don't know how to reset it. I don't think Josh knows either.
Fortunately, I still have the instruction manual for my car, so I can do that. Plus, I need to reset the clocks anyway. Every time I reset the clocks, something happened that like made the car battery die. And I had to jump it to start it, and then all the clocks were messed up again. So I just, you know, but I'm at the point now where I'm too annoyed with it not being correct that I have to fix it after 2 months. So anyway, and Carrie and I just listened to the live podcast of Flat 29 on the Pride48.com website.
We half listened.
Yeah.
Half cuddled kitties.
Yes, there was a kitty cat named Abby who was loving attention.
Yes.
So that's about it.
That's about it.
I was good.
I talked to my friend Rebecca on Skype, who moved to Taipei in Taiwan. Although now she's in kind of a suburb of Taipei, and she's teaching English there, and so she's all like isolated from people she knows. So I talked to her on Skype for an hour, and that was really interesting. I just kept asking her questions. Usually if I talk to someone, I'm more about talking about myself, but in that case, I had, you know, a game of 40 questions.
Yeah.
I can't remember anything interesting she said about Taiwan, but if I remember something, I'll tell you next time. Well, what were you going to say when I cut you off so rudely?
I was going to say, we won't read the comments now, but I want to comment on the comments. We only got one, and it actually was somebody commenting on the fact that we forgot to play his audio comment from a previous episode.
Uh-huh.
And we got another comment for episode 46, so that one doesn't even kind of count either.
Should we just skip comments?
We got a voicemail for this show, so commenting on the actual episode itself, we have one voicemail comment, and it was more about Gen Con anyway. So, so the point is, you know, what the fuck, man? Why won't you leave comments for us?
What the figgity fuck? Maybe because a lot of times they seem to wait until the last minute.
Yeah, and I did post things yesterday and today, or, you know, saying like, yeah, hey, we're recording, get your comments in. So
it's the weekend, people are on the interwebs list.
Something from last episode I was particularly curious to hear people, you know, thoughts or opinions or feedback on, even though I didn't say it, was the fact that instead of doing four songs, we had four song breaks of smaller length songs so that each break was like a little 7-minute break, you know, that had music. Mm-hmm. And I was curious what people thought of the way I did that and if they enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
Sure.
Did you not enjoy it?
I not enjoyed it.
Okay, good. That's a positive in my book. So I was curious because, to be completely honest here, we're kind of light on talking content for this episode. I have some things I jotted down in the outline, and Carrie will help me choose what I'll talk about later when it comes to that. But I just kind of...
We'll have to kick it Paul and Storm style, or at least the way they used to do things.
Yeah.
Just, like, talk about some random subject.
Yeah. So, you know, and you know, if people weren't leaving comments, I didn't want to go to the net and say, what should we talk about? Because we would, you know, equally get nothing in return. I wanted to basically do that again in this episode. You know, episodes where we know we're going to be light on talkie content, I wanted to try doing the little 7-minute-ish song break thing.
Or we could, you know, just have a shorter episode. It's not going to kill us.
Well, I like things. I actually, one of the things I did yesterday when I was, I'll get more into this later, but the point is, I took all of my Hyperspasm mixtapes and took the inlay cards of the cassettes out of their cases and then rubber banded them together and brought them with me so that I could look through the Hyperspasm thing and, like, make a new list of possible songs to play on the show.
Uh-huh.
That I think are cool that haven't been played yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, since the older lists I made, I don't know if they were in the book that got stolen, but I just kind of felt like I wanted to redo it just to make a fresh list. And I had another reason to look through and try to pick out names of songs, but I'll save that for another podcast, too. It was kind of a 2-in-1 deal. Anyway, so I don't know. I felt like trying that again for this episode and seeing what you people thought of it, and if you consider it a positive, a negative, or if you're completely indifferent to it, or whatever. So, that all being said, here will be the first song break, and it'll be two songs by me, and there's a specific purpose for it. I decided, just because the hell with it, I want to make sure people hear these songs, I'm going to play the two album-only songs from that aren't Fump tracks from my new album, Be Amused By Me, because when we do the next episode, I'm going to announce the Lukeski Top 50. Not that it'll be finished, that it'll be starting. Will be the next episode. So early October, once I get back from Archon and we record the next Bad Rapport, the day I post that Bad Rapport will be the day I post, okay, the new poll is up, go vote for things. So I wanted to stick these two songs at the beginning of this episode so that people could hear them and know them if they haven't picked up the album yet. Maybe they're waiting to buy the album when they see me live at a show. I still want them to hear these songs so that they can, you know, decide whether they like them enough or not to vote that they like them on the poll. Carrie is going to take a nap because she's bored with me talking.
I'm listening.
The first song we're playing is a song that has Carrie in it. Yay!
Yay!
And it was also one of the top support getters from You Pick Luke's Fump, so we'll finally be capping off that in its entirety by having played all of the songs that people said I should make on Bad Rapport. So here are those songs right now. Yay!
You'll find slacker clerks, profane banal chats, and shopping centers all full of mall rats in Red Bank.
There's Jay and Silent Bob with drugs to fence.
Sweet baby-voiced lesbians in Red Bank.
You'll see fallen angels make a Catholic sleigh ground. Red Bank is a real effed up town. Get a burger with Mooby Moochies and profit smoking Snoochie Boochies.
We ain't exactly goody goody two shoes, a bunch of savages with good news.
Tell them, Steve Dave.
That REDBANK is A-OK if you're straight or you're gay.
If you're looking for a place to get high,
and your girlfriend did it with a dead guy,
again and again,
and again.
Red Bank, Red Bank, we're a Star Wars think tank discussing Death Star casualty.
Any contractor looking at that Death Star knew the risk involved.
Leonardo, where that Willem Lardo will see a magic eye schooner.
When do I get to see the sailboat?
Need a black feather booster.
What's a newbie?
Shut up, Tracer. Red Bank, Red Bank, New Jersey.
This is the place where you're judged morally
if you sell cigarettes.
But it's okay if your girl's orally
involved with 36.
Including me?
37.
Oh my God!
At the video store, it's the customers I mock.
And God, you bet, it's Alanis Morissette.
And Mr. Fantastic and Elongate his...
What the... That kid is on the escalator again!
Red Bank, Red Bank, we've got monkeys to spank. We're taking them across the country.
If we're going mad, the monkey will spank us.
Leonardo, the quick stop is Chardo. No, finger cuffs is roping, but I assure you we're open. We're Red Bank, Red Bank, New Jersey.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I got nothing.
You're an Ouroboros orphan who became a technician for the Jupiter Mining Corps for a mission. And you scream as you're blasting off to the stratosphere. It's cold outside!
There's no kind of atmosphere!
So now what do you do? Eat 13 pounds of chicken curry in Vindaloo. Deep spaces!
For a million years in space!
Now you and your cat are on a first name basis.
Ah.
Miss Kachansky, you can finally be hers, cause you're the last human male in the universe. So hang a U-turn at the nearest star while Holly's head banging to your rock guitar.
You're a smeghead!
If you bang every week in the loo out of time, take a stasis leak.
You're a smeghead!
Hope you're wearing a cup, cause the boys from the dwarf are gonna smeg you up. Evolved. Your evolutionary roots are a cat named Frankenstein.
Hello, Richard Pleasant Booth.
You're a fashionable pilot drinking some Chablis.
Not a tongue-tied buck-toothed mobhead Dwayne Dibley.
Take your seafood and you're bound to get bitchy, saying,
I'm gonna eat you little fishy.
Or maybe you're a robot mechanoid. boy who was rescued after crashing on some random planetoid, cleaning gutters with the scutters of domestic spacer with a head that looks like a chewed pencil eraser.
Humanity.
There's no way to know, maybe Silicon Heaven where the calculators go.
You're a snakehead!
If you ever doubt me, I'm so vain that I probably think this song is about me.
You're a snakehead! If you're a polymorpher!
Damn, it feels good to be a dwarfer.
Crichton?
Yes, Mr. Rimmer, sir?
My memorial statue, which I erected for myself, hasn't been dusted in over 13 hours. Do you have anything to say?
Yes, sir, I do have something to say. You're a...
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Hang on, goalpost head! Maybe he's trying to say that old cat word, snarf!
No, cat, what he's trying to say is that there's no frelling way he's going to take orders from a mudblood muggle prat like him.
I still outrank you, Lister.
Oh, just spit it out, you metal gimboid!
Actually, what I was trying to say is, frack off, you goram, rotten, scruffy-looking nerf herder snakehead!
Yeah, you got it!
You're establishing repairman return from the dead with a big letter H stuck to your forehead, even as a hologram, the highest ranking recruit. But it takes you 5 minutes just to do a salute. You complain that in life good luck was bereft. We'll just take a dimension jump to the left and discover a cooler version of you does exist.
Smoke me a kipper.
I'll be back for breakfast.
Ride the river experience all sanguine.
Or go mad with Mr. Flipper the Penguin.
But hey, I wouldn't say that you're a total putz. You look death in the face and you kick him in the nuts.
You're a snakehead.
If your speech core directive's always getting misquoted and your heart likes defective.
You're a snakehead!
If you think you're so macho, but you run away from danger and your hottest gazpacho!
You're a snakehead!
If you married a gelf, if it's too weird for words, justify yourself!
You're a snakehead!
Just go to Fiji to surf, cause the red dwarf posse's coming back to Earth!
So, how are we going to do this?
Well, okay, we're back, everyone. Like I said, this is a content-light episode. So, I was remembering an episode of The Scope. Let me turn this down a little bit, and then scoot this closer to you.
Okay.
And then I'll scoot back over here. Okay. I was remembering an episode of The Scope recently. Not recently. It was sometime in the past 2 years. Let's just start again.
No.
Okay. I remember they had kind of like this interesting questions that like Shane was asking the other guys, and I can't remember if Shane made up the questions or if he went to some website where they had like scruples type of questions and then just handpicked the ones he thought were best or something.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe a mixture of the two. I don't remember, but that thought shot into my mind right now while we were on our break, and I ran my list of ideas past Carrie of what we could talk about, and she didn't like any of them, so...
Well, I just wanted to do something fun.
Okay. So, after doing a few searches, I came across 80 fun questions to ask friends.
See? It says fun right in the title.
Okay. So, since there's 80 of them, if there's a question that you
probably
can't
won't
answer,
go through all 80...
Well, okay.
We'll just keep going until we feel like, okay, we're kind of done.
All right.
So are you going to, like, read one to me, and then I'll read the next one to you? Or you're going to read all of them to me?
Well, I kind of feel like people already... If you read these questions to me and I answered them, people would like, yeah, I already know that about Luke. He talks about that shit all the time.
Okay.
But they might not know it about you, so we'll just...
I get to talk about myself?
Yes.
Now I'm excited and happy.
Yes.
As opposed to tired and bored.
So, all right. And I guess, yeah, if you don't really have an answer, just say pass and we'll go on to the next one. What's your favorite movie of all time and why?
Probably Shawshank Redemption because it's awesome.
What was the best movie you saw this last year and why?
This past year?
Yeah.
Shit.
I assume you would say Kick-Ass.
Well, that was the last year movie, though. That was...
Well, in the past 12 months.
Well, when did it come out?
I don't know. It was the summer of last year.
I'm pretty sure it's been more than a year since
All right, well
that.
Then...
So I probably would have to pick, X-Men First Class, I guess.
Okay, and why?
Because it was good.
Okay. Who's your favorite director and why?
It's so descriptive. I guess Hitchcock, because he's all artsy and shit. bumping up the levels.
Have you seen, this is not in the list, have you seen the movie High Anxiety by Mel Brooks?
Not sure. It's there was a period of time when Gremlin was having me to watch some... No, I don't think I've seen it.
It's a comedy spoof of Hitchcock films. So you should you should add that to your Netflix Hulu list.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
High Anxiety?
Yes. Do you like black and white movies?
If they're good. Which okay. Most of them are.
All right. Do you read movie reviews?
Not really. I listen to Niles on the Niles Film Files on the Mishki Night Show.
Yes. What's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Pass.
Okay. Do you like horror movies?
Not really.
Who's your favorite actor and why? Or actress, either. Well, actor means both, but anyway, yeah.
I don't know. Pass, I guess.
Do you cry at movies?
Occasionally. I'm not as much as I used to because I've gotten colder in my old age.
Okay. What's the funniest movie you've ever seen?
Funniest movie I've ever seen? There's a lot of funny-ass movies out there. Pass.
Would you rather see a movie at the theater or at home on DVD?
At the theater.
Okay.
Because it's more fun. It's more of an event.
Do you sneak snacks into the cinema?
Yes, I fucking do.
Yes, that I made that up. Okay, and obviously these are like in sections, so now we move on to the television section. What's your favorite TV show of all time?
Well, I'll just go with my favorite TV show of the moment, which is Futurama, because it's awesome.
Everything is like, and why? And the and why is because
it's awesome.
Okay. How many hours a week do you spend watching TV?
Well, I'll go with, lately, about 5 hours, something like that.
Okay. What's your favorite TV station and why?
I have no idea. I don't have TV.
Okay. What was your favorite TV show when you were growing up?
Oh my god, I had so many favorites. Rainbow Bright and Jem jumped to mind, but there was a lot of other favorites.
Okay. Who's your favorite actor on television and why?
Pass.
Would you rather watch a sitcom, a reality show, a police drama, a legal drama, or a medical drama? Or something else?
I'll let you guess.
Sitcom.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay. Has a television show ever moved you to tears?
Yes.
And which one and when?
Well, I'm sure there's been more than one, but I specifically remember an episode of Angel where Faith was there and, like, you know, Faith has this, like, breakdown moment of, you know, where she, like, she hates herself, she hates herself, she hates herself, and then there's just some moment where she just breaks down crying in the rain, and I don't really remember what she says or what Angel says, but it was moving.
Do you watch the news on TV?
No, I don't have TV.
Okay. Have you ever been on TV?
Well, I was on that Beavis and Butthead infomercial that they taped at Archon 1 year.
Yeah.
Saying, I will definitely buy this DVD, and I didn't buy it. Mm-hmm.
I saw one of those sets at, like, Meijer or something for, like, super cheap, and I don't think I have that one, so I gotta go back and get it once I have money to spare, which I kind of
don't.
I'm not broke, but I just don't have money to buy DVDs right now.
Right.
What is it? If you were a character on a TV show, which one would you be?
Definitely something from the Buffyverse. I don't know. I guess Willow's probably the coolest character in the Buffyverse.
Okay. All right. This is the section about books. Has reading a book ever changed your life?
I guess. It's been so long since one has that I'm probably not going to figure out which one it was or why.
Okay. Do you prefer to read fiction or nonfiction?
I kind of 50-50.
Okay. If you could be a character in any novel you have ever read, who would you be and why?
Pass.
Has reading a book ever made you cry?
Yes.
These people are obsessed with getting you to cry, apparently.
If something you cried, yes. I cried.
How many books do you read each year?
Lately, not too goddamn many. Right now I'm focusing on baby-related books so that I can learn. Right now I'm reading a book about, it's called Coming Home with Your Newborn, and it's pretty dry. It's all, but it's everything you need to know about, like all the basics you need to know about, you know, newborn babies. So reading that is really helping me to feel a lot less stupid about it. But a number of books per year, that's kind of dumb. Like anybody, like, I'm going to go through exactly 52 books this year. You know, I mean, like, who the fuck does that? Pass.
I'm sure there are people who, after you spent 5 minutes answering the question, pass.
Fuck you.
Okay. Have you ever written or started to write a book?
Oh, yes, actually. I used to write a lot when I was a kid and a teenager. I actually completed a children's book when I was a kid. I don't remember the title, and of course I don't have it anymore because almost all of that stuff has been thrown out. But it was a children's book about a little girl that was supposed to be me, but she always wore a green dress. I'll do a drawing of how I did her. And she would have a black cat on a leash, a black tabby, like kind of like Abby, on a leash that was supposed to be my cat, Honey. And she did a tour of a mansion for the little kids. Like, this is a mansion. This is the exercise room. This is one of 6 bedrooms. This is, you know, the candy room. I don't know. So I actually wrote that on. No, there was another children's book I completed when I was a kid. That was when I was even way littler. I wrote a book about how babies are born, and it said when I was born, the stork dropped me off, or something like that. And like, everybody thought it was the most hilarious, adorable thing. And what they didn't know, that I was trying to write it for kids that didn't know about sex and weren't supposed to know. So that's why I wrote it that way. It's not that I didn't really understand sex, of course, but I knew that it had something to do with, you know, mommy and daddy and nudity, you know, so... They all thought it was just so adorable. Look, Carrie thinks that storks bring babies. But I was actually writing the book for littler kids. That, anyways.
Yeah.
You don't seem to be amused by
no,
this.
No, in fact, I did do, you know, the notion of writing something as a kid for younger kids. I did that too.
Yeah, I did that a lot. Books that I started but never finished writing, the main ones that come to mind are... One that was called Rich Cat, Poor Cat, and it was two, like...
It sounds like a George Orwell Animal Farm type of story.
And I didn't even know that there was a book called Rich Man, Poor Man. It was about two girls, the rich one was named Courtney Ann Tidney, and the poor one, I don't remember, Catherine Alice, you know, Taylor or something. And the poor one lived in her car with her parents, where they tried to like make a little setup where it like looked like a house and here's a little chandelier, mm-hmm. but it's a car. And the rich one lived in a shopping mall that was hers. It wasn't one where you know, people shop. It was just a shopping mall where she could just, you know, walk around. And, like, the whole point was that, you know, the rich one was gonna, like, let the poor one into her world and let a bunch of people come in and take whatever they wanted from the mall just for the hell of it, like a free shopping spree. But then, like... as you got in deeper into the story, the part that I never got around to writing was you're going to find out that both of these girls have the ability to turn into cats. And that's why their names happened to, their initials happen to be C-A-T. So that was when I spent a lot of time writing when I was about 9 years old.
Well, now that Harry Potter's over, we need something to fill that void. So.
And the other book that I had spent some time writing, I was actually a teenager at that time, and I was trying to write a novel version of Disney's Beauty and the Beast. And I only wrote the prelude, but it was like, prelude isn't the right word, is it? What's the word I'm looking for? Prologue. But it was like 13 to 20 pages long of handwritten, like, you know, no spaces and stuff. And it was really well written, so well written that my mom refused to believe that I wrote it. Which is like simultaneously, you know, a compliment and insulting. So, and I just kind of didn't keep going with it after that, and I don't have that anymore either. I don't have any of those. Those are the books that I partially or completely wrote and now don't have.
Alrighty. Did you ever read a book that you hated?
Probably. I don't know what it was, okay. Though.
If someone wrote a book about your life, what would they title it?
The Pink Sensation? I don't know.
Or what was that? Yeah. If you could pick a book you've read to make into a movie, which one would you choose?
I don't know. Pass.
What was your favorite book as a child and why?
Well, I guess I had a lot of favorites, but I was really stuck on the Ramona Quimby series because it was awesome.
Cool. All right, so now we've come to 10 sexy questions to ask your friend.
Woo!
Are you ready for sexy questions?
Sexy questions. Because, you know, I'm such a private person.
Let's get Rich on Skype here, because when it comes to sexy, Rich knows how to take everything and make it sexier.
And Charlie's going to marry his dad.
Yes. Have you ever been involved in a threesome?
Yes.
Okay. At what age did you lose your virginity?
21.
What's your favorite sexual position?
Missionary.
What's your favorite foreplay activity?
Kissing. This is really awkward, actually.
Well, that's why I gave it the big intro, so that you had the chance to say, no, we're not doing this part. Would you want me to skip to the next part?
No.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you really short answers.
All right. Have you ever faked an orgasm?
No, not per se.
Have you ever had a one-night stand?
Not per se.
Which three celebrities would you most like to have sex with?
Shit. It's a good question, but if I'd had this question in advance, I'd have probably wonderful answers for it, but I have to pass.
Okay. What's the kinkiest kind of sex you've ever had?
Pass.
Do you own any sexy underwear?
Not at the moment. Well, I guess a couple. I don't really wear them. I'm kind of a granny panties lady.
This probably doesn't apply to you at this point in your life, but how often do you have sex each week? I'm assuming you had a lot of sex for a while, and then you stopped.
That's not how that...
Once you've accomplished your goal.
Well, true, there is a little... Well, conception sex is weird, because you're trying to have sex on very specific days for a very specific reason, you know. I'll just have to go with, like, right now it's about once every other week. So... You know, we're married. What do you expect? Hi, Abby.
Abby.
Are we done with that awkward part?
Yes.
Yay.
Now it's fun questions to ask friends about money.
Okay.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'd travel a lot and pay off all my debts.
Are you a spender or a saver?
Spender.
How much money do you have on a regular basis?
That's not your goddamn business.
Okay, we'll pass, like I said. Do you have a personal written budget?
No.
When you go to a meal Dutch, would you prefer to itemize the receipt or just split it in half?
Normally itemize it. Occasionally have split it in half. Not really a big deal to me either way.
When you're on a date, do you think the man should pay or not?
Depends. Usually I prefer it that way because usually then I have more money.
What's the most expensive gift you've ever given someone?
Abby, are you supposed to be in there?
Probably not.
Abby, come on.
Abby.
Come on. Let's get out of there. Well, the most expensive gift that was actually a gift and wasn't really me, like, you know, floating someone along for a while was probably, most likely the $100, soda stream I bought for Josh for our, which was it, our anniversary? No. I'm not sure which event it was for, but I think it was one of our anniversaries.
What's the most expensive gift you've ever received from someone?
again, Josh is a pretty big gift giver. He gave me, you know, like a keyboard that's worth $400 and other such things. Not to mention, you know, the engagement ring, which is worth more than that. And I guess that's it. What's the next question?
If someone offered you $1 million for a night of sex, would you do it?
Probably.
Would it matter if the person were good looking or not?
Probably not.
Do you invest in the stock market?
No.
Okay. Music questions. What's your favorite kind of music?
Dementia!
Yay! Who's your favorite singer or band?
I don't know if I have a favorite right now. What? I'm supposed to say the great Luke Ski,
exactly,
of course.
That's what you were supposed to say.
Aww.
Now my ego is shattered.
Oh, no.
What's Steely Dan?
Yeah, Steely Dan, the Beatles. But they're not dementia, so I was kind of
trying
to think of dementia artists and who's my favorite right now. And I don't know if I have a favorite right now.
Flat 29. What's your favorite album?
I don't know.
What's your favorite song?
Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys.
Do you like to sing karaoke?
Yes.
Are you a good dancer?
No.
Do you like musicals?
Yes.
Has a song ever made you cry?
Yes.
If your life was a song, what would the title be?
The Pink Sensation.
If you could be a particular singer or musician, who would you be?
Catherine Zeta-Jones, so I can be in Chicago.
Okay.
And be Velma Kelly.
These are questions about games. What was your favorite game to play as a child?
I played a lot of games. I played Connect Four, Yahtzee, Skip-Bo, I guess those are the main ones. I played tons and tons and tons and tons of games with my grandma, and played cribbage, Go Fish, and the list goes on and on. So those are some of the highlights.
Do you play video games now?
Yes.
What's your favorite gambling game?
Gambling game? I don't play gambling games.
Okay. Do you prefer card games or board games?
Board games.
Do you ever play drinking games?
No.
Are you good at chess?
Not really.
Have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons?
Nope.
Do you ever play solitaire when you're bored?
Yeah, electronic versions.
Are you good at Trivial Pursuit?
Not really.
Have you ever been on a game show?
No.
Okay.
Dilemmas.
Would you rather be rich or healthy?
Healthy.
Would you rather be good looking or rich?
Rich, I guess.
Do you believe in the death penalty?
I believe it exists. I don't believe it should.
Have you seen Sophie's Choice?
No.
Neither have I. So we'll go on to the next one. Would you like to know the day you're going to die ahead of time?
No.
Would you rather have super strength or super intelligence?
Super intelligence.
Would you rather have the power to be invisible or the power to read minds?
Oh, definitely invisibility. I don't know what you assholes are thinking.
Would you rather spend the rest of your life without a significant other, or would you rather have a partner who is extremely difficult?
I already have a partner who's extremely difficult. We should ask this question to Sarah.
Would you rather spend life in prison or be executed?
Life in prison, I guess. Still life, technically.
And I guess this is the final question. Should marijuana be legalized?
Yes.
Okay. So there are 80 questions for Carrie Dalby.
The pink sensation.
The pink sensation. Which is the front runner for the title of this episode.
Yes.
So, all right. I guess we'll move on then.
To a song break.
To a song break, and then we'll have news of the stupid. The notion of anniversaries was on my mind recently for two reasons. One, because of that whole 9/11 thing.
And
so because of that...
Wedding anniversary.
Well, yeah. Let me finish one point before I move on to the next one. Bacon!
Sausage.
So I figured we'd play from the Laughter It's a Powerful Weapon album, the first one that came out, the song by Cornflake called Toenails, because, you know, she's a girl.
Okay.
And I like that song.
It's a good song.
Another song that features a girl is Da Anniversary Song by Da Youpers to commemorate me and Sarah's first anniversary, which will happen between now and the next episode. And then the third song is...
it's like next Saturday, right?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday.
So 20 to the 25th. So...
I can't math.
So, this is the final song of the set is a cover version of Subterranean Homesick Blues by a group that is apparently called Ken Bishop's Nice 12. And this song is taken from an episode of the British sitcom The Young Ones. And I'm playing it because it was on one of my old mixtapes, and I thought I'd see if it was on YouTube, and it was. So, cool. So if you hear people laughing, that's because that's the audience laugh track from the sitcom. But it's a really cool cover version, and I like it. So here is a song break, and then news of the stupid.
Without further ado, we're going to have Cornflake with accompaniment by Dan Hart. This is the talent part.
You needed to tell them that? Oh, no. I'm going to pretend that I do. My name is Cornflake. I'm from Massachusetts. Dan Hart has been so kind to accompany me in this song. This is a song I wrote in Peru. It has nothing to do with Peru. It's called Toenails.
Well, I like my toenails, but I like yours too. You could give me your toenails, then I'd have part of you. If you have to keep your toenails, could you clip one or two? A clipping or two would do. And I like my haircut, but I like yours too. You could give me your haircut, then I'd be cute as you. But if you can't spare your haircut, could I have a strand or two? A strand or two would do. And I like my uncle, but I like yours too. You could give me your uncle, and then I'd have your uncle. If you have to keep your uncle, could I have an aunt or two? Sure, an aunt or two would do. And I like like my brain cells, but I like yours too. You could give me your brain cells, and I'd be smart as you. But if you need all those brain cells, could I have a thought or two? A thought or two would do. Last verse. When I like my PJs, but I like yours too. You could give me your PJs. You could sleep in the nude. I didn't want to picture that. Perhaps a sock or two. Yes, a sock or two would do.
When you got sick on that Kessler's and those cookies that you had, you spent the night in the bathroom. You missed all the fun that we had. We took Uncle Ernie to town for last call and sent him home in a cab. And boy, was your aunt wild.
The older you get, the more you forget to remember what you should recall. You fill in the blanks in your memory with things that may not have happened at all.
You never remember my birthday.
Huh?
But you know when deer season comes.
Oh.
You ought to be shot, cause I know you forgot. It's our anniversary, you bum.
I think it was your Uncle Slim. It echoed so loud in the rafters, I thought the whole church would cave in. Then as the gas started spreading, your mother passed out on the floor. The old bags were screaming and fainting. The crowd made a dash for the door, including me and your brothers and dad.
The older you get, the more you forget to remember what you should recall. You fill in the blanks in your memory with things that may not have happened at all.
You never remember my birthday.
Huh?
But you know when deer season comes.
Oh, yeah.
You ought to be shot, cause I know you forgot. It's our anniversary, you bum. It's our
$11 bill.
You only got 10.
Maggie calls me. So talking about the heat, put plans in the bed,
but the phone's tapped anyway.
Maggie says, and many said, it must bust an early May.
Orders from the DA.
Look out, kid, no matter what you did,
Walk on your tiptoes, don't cry, no dose.
Better stay away from those carry on the fire hose.
Keep a clean nose and watch your plain clothes.
Don't need a weatherman to know it's where the wind blows. Get sick, get well,
hang around the igloo.
Ring bell,
I'll tell if anything's gonna sell right off.
Get smart,
get bad,
run, run,
get jailed,
jump back,
join the army if you fail.
Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit. But users, cheaters, six-time losers, hang around the theater.
Get dressed, get blessed, try to be a success.
Please help,
please help, buy kids, don't steal, don't live.
20 years of schooling and they put you on a day shift.
Look out, kid, you keep it all in.
Have a job, have a manhole, light your summer candle. Don't wear sandals, try to avoid the scandal.
Someone might be a bum,
you bet you gum.
Don't wait, cause the van will turn the handles.
I already said I was a pacifist.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world. And submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess they're stupid to prove it innocent. Cause they're making so damn easy to incriminate.
This story we're reading as written by Brian Barrett of Gizmodo.com. When Jeffrey Young recently discovered the corpse of his dearly departed friend, he did what any sensible 80s screwball comedy would. Called his buddy, took the body to a strip club, and charged $400 to the dead man's debit card. If that seems callous, please know that Young, 43, and pal Mark Rubinson, 25, did eventually inform the authorities about their good buddy's passing. It was just, you know, 5 hours after he found the body. And after a quick stop at Teddy T's Bar and Grill for a couple of drinks to drown their sorrows. And another at Viva Burrito for some nachos in memoriam. And just a quick swing by Shotgun Willie's Show Club for lap dances. But I'm sure they couldn't see the tee-taws through their tears. Needless to say, the entire night out was sponsored by the departed's checking account. I'm sure he would have wanted it that way. Stuck in the trunk of a sedan while your buddies get plastered on your dime is the modern-day equivalent of a Viking funeral. Young and Rubinson finally reported the death at 4 a.m., at which point they were arrested for abusing a corpse, identity theft, and criminal impersonation. They're out on bond now. But let's all just breathe a sigh of relief for those who've been clamoring for Weekend at Bernie's 3. Your wait is over. It happened in Denver, in real life, and was every bit as horrifying as the sequel.
It's a dead man's party. Who could ask for more? This story we're reading as written by Caleb Gullner at ComicsAlliance.com. And to clarify, the stupid person here is the thief, not the victim. There's been an outpouring of support in the comics community for Superman fan Mike Meyer these past few weeks after the 48-year-old mentally disabled man from Granite City, Illinois, was robbed of a substantial portion of his massive collection of Superman comics and memorabilia after being tricked by an acquaintance he welcomed into his home. According to KMOV, supporters can begin to breathe a sigh of relief, however, as the process for truth, justice, and the American way seems to be moving forward with the arrest of suspected thief Gary Arville Armbruster and the recovery of Meyer's stolen items. The 37-year-old Armbruster was actually arrested for an unrelated incident yesterday afternoon when Granite City police responded to the robbery of a 76-year-old man who allegedly received minor injuries from the suspect who robbed him of jewelry and cash. After his arrest, Armbruster was linked to the theft of Meyer's Superman items. This led to the recovery and return of all of Meyer's items, according to an official police statement. Armbruster is currently at the Granite City Police Department and will be transferred to the Madison County Jail later this evening. His bond for all charges has been set at $100,000. With a suspect headed to jail and Meyer's collection not only restored but apparently almost doubled by the donations of fellow Superman fans and supporters, this story has reached something of a golden age Superman story ending bolstered by modern social media. I felt very happy and felt justice was served, Meyer told St. Louis Today this afternoon, noting that he plans to give away excess donations to a charity or a children's hospital. People were generous to me. This is how I can be generous in return, Meyer told St. Louis Today.
Armbruster was unable to convince Lex Luthor to bail him out. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, our long national nightmare is over. Gumby has surrendered. Police say a man dressed in a Gumby costume and an accomplice went into a 7-Eleven in Rancho Penasquitos on Labor Day and told the clerk it was a robbery. The clerk thought it was a prank and dismissed him. Both then left the store. Surveillance video shows the clumsy would-be robber struggling to keep the green suit on as he walked out the door. San Diego police say the man accused of trying to rob a convenience store last week dressed as the famous stop-motion animation character turned himself in Tuesday with an alleged accomplice. Detective Gary Hassan tells the San Diego Union-Tribune that Jacob Kiss and Jason Garama voluntarily went to police headquarters. He said Kiss brought the Gumby suit and turned it in as well. This would-be criminal is obviously an amateur. You could tell by looking at him that he was a little green. He was unarmed, of course, because he himself is a bomb. Everybody knows Gumby is made of plastique. People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
I am Gumby, damn it!
This has been News of the Stupid.
This...
I said here.
Oh. It reminds me of... I can't remember if I talked about this on the podcast before. One of my favorite Saturday Night Live sketches from when I was a kid was... It was the Billy Crystal season, and Eddie Murphy was hosting the Christmas episode. And they did a scene that took place in a deli where Billy Crystal played his old grandpa character, old Jewish grandpa character. Martin Short played Irvin Cohen. Christopher Guest played some random other old Jewish guy. And then, so they're having this scene of this delicatessen arguing over what kind of, you know, ingredients go to certain sandwiches. And then Rich Hall comes up trying to take their order as the waiter. And then all of a sudden, Eddie Murphy comes in the deli as Gumby. And he's just, like, yelling and being belligerent and stuff. And then goes to, like, sit down with the other old Jewish guys because Eddie Murphy basically played Gumby as some kind of... with some kind of weird old Jewish guy accent, or at least loud Jewish guy accent, like, you know, I am Gumby, damn it, what? You know, and yelling at people. And then he gets into an argument with the wait staff guy played by Rich Hall because he claims the last time Gumby came into that delicatessen, he left without paying. And you know, they're talking about some guy, I think they said it was like, you know, Ernie Shadelman, and like, you know, Christopher Guest is like, Ernie Shadelman was a sandwich? And then Martin Short's like, Ernie Shadelman was not a sandwich! The man was a genius! Give me a C! A bouncy C! And then the music kicks on, as it always does for his Irving Cohen character, and then he starts making up a song about the contents of a sandwich, and... So, I hadn't seen... I saw that when I was a kid, you know, when it was live and then when it reran, and then I never saw it for years. All of the syndicated reruns, including the ones on Comedy Central, always cut that sketch out whenever they reran that episode. So a couple months ago, I was dicking around on Netflix, and they're like, we have the entire run of Saturday Night Live. I'm like, oh, really? And I went and I looked and I fucking found it. I'm like, yes, I can watch this sketch again.
Uh-huh.
And it's like... I'd like turn the audio of it into a thing for a episode, but I don't know if it would be anywhere near as entertaining to anyone else. It's just like I personally loved that sketch as a kid, and maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't hold up for anyone else, but
wasn't
it made
there
me
some
so happy.
Monty Python Gumby thing too.
Well, yeah, that's the Gumby, and I'm not sure what the timeline is between America and England when the cartoon claymation character Gumby was invented, but. The Monty Python guys who are all like, hello, my brain hurts! They are all called Gumby as well. But they all have, like, initials in front of them. So it would be like, you know, L.S. Gumby and C.D. Gumby, you know, now do this. And then they would do something. So,
that's unrelated.
Yeah, that's completely unrelated.
Sorry, it sounds so ignorant.
It's a valid question. So, anyway... Yeah. I just thought I'd mention that since Gumby was mentioned.
You know, I wonder whatever happened to Billy Crystal and, like, a lot of them, Martin Short and all those other guys.
Like,
so many guys have just disappeared off the face of the planet, it seems.
Martin Short did a bunch of Broadway shows. I think he was in one of the runs of The Producers. He also did, a one-man traveling show, which I wanted to see but didn't. And he still shows up from time to time in movies and stuff, so he's still kicking it. Billy Crystal has a Twitter account that he barely ever uses. He's doing the voice of Mike Wazowski in the Monsters, Inc. prequel, which is currently being made. So really psyched about
that's
that.
That's a thing.
It's like he was in that movie Tooth Fairy, the one with The Rock playing the Tooth Fairy hockey guy.
Yeah.
So I went.
It looked like a horrible movie.
Yeah. I went and saw it at a matinee just because Billy Crystal was in it, and it was worth the matinee price to see the three scenes that Billy Crystal was in, because I love him so much. He's so fucking funny to me. He's one of my original comedy inspirations.
Then I heard Rick Moranis retired from acting, so that's why he won't be in Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, basically his wife passed away, and I think he just decided, like, okay, that's it. I'm done with all this stuff. And he just kind of moved out to the country somewhere, and he's like, he's done with his... He's retired, so I don't know.
So he really did disappear off the face of the planet.
Pretty much, yeah. I was thinking about the whole concept of Ghostbusters 3... because
they're going to make it whether or not Bill Murray eventually agrees to it.
Yeah, I hope Bill Murray eventually agrees to it. I mean, he did the voice for the video game. I mean, come on. I mean, okay, 2011 minus 1989 equals 22. So, remember the baby Oscar in Ghostbusters 2? He'd have to be 23 or 24 years old by now. So,
right.
So, it's like, I know the whole concept of this is basically to kind of...
They're passing the torch.
Yeah, handing the franchise over to the next generation. So I'm hoping it would only make sense that Oscar would be one of the new generation, you know? So there's that. The other thing I was thinking about is because, you know, some people are, like, happy that there's going to be a third Ghostbusters movie. Some people are like, oh, I don't know why they should. You know, besides, part two was a piece of shit and blah, blah, blah. I never had any problems with Ghostbusters 2. I loved it and thought it was entertaining. I didn't understand why everybody else...
It wasn't near as good as the original.
Yeah, but it was good.
Kind of not.
I mean, what did you think of the Ghostbusters cartoon?
I enjoyed it, I assume, since I watched quite a few episodes.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like, so you're okay with the cartoon, but the second movie with the actual actors is a piece of shit. It's like, I just don't understand the logic.
I didn't say it was a piece of shit.
Well, yeah, other people are saying that.
It's just, you know, it's anything is going to have a hard time holding up to the original Ghostbusters. I mean, to me, it's one of the best movies ever made. Speaking of which... It's supposedly going to be in theaters next month, and we really need to get a group gathering of all the
Dementia fans
in Chicagoland to go see it together.
But see, here's the thing that made the first Ghostbusters movie, well, and the second too, but you know, concentrating on the first, that really made it is that whole Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis. And we'll throw in Rick Moranis in on this too. Just the whole notion of these were all these guys that knew each other from Second City, from Saturday Night Live.
They had amazing comedy.
Yeah, they kind of did that as a group of comedic people who worked together and knew each other's strengths and could really play to that. So if there's going to be a Ghostbusters sequel, they always were talking about how Ghostbusters supposedly was going to be franchised out. So the coolest thing they could possibly do is make it like Ghostbusters,
Seth Rogen.
Exactly. Get the Judd Apatow crew,
yes.
And it could be like, Ghostbusters Los Angeles would be like Seth Rogen, Craig Robinson, you know, maybe even Steve Carell, you know, just like, you know, Jonah Hill. You know, could you see all them? Like, that would be cool.
Hell,
and then, like,
yeah.
And then have, like, another city is Ghostbusters Chicago. And
if that's what it was going to be, then I'd be really excited. I'm not, you know, saying, yeah. Oh my God, don't do it. Holy shit. I'm also not saying, oh my God, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, you know, tentatively like, okay, I'll go see it. I'll but give like, it a
you
chance.
Know, what about like, you know, Jack Black and Kyle Gass? You know, just kind of like, you know, like just have like various scenes from various parts of the country in different cities where these different Ghostbuster franchises are, and each one is a different group of these awesome yeah. comedy personas, so that even if
but
they
that
each,
would have to mean that you know, some you know three-piece suit studio executive acknowledged that that's what made Ghostbusters work yeah, so well, yeah. and that that's what would make a new franchise work well.
Yeah,
and you know, three-piece suits in studio executives don't like to acknowledge things like that.
Yeah. So you know, it's so basically over the overall grand scheme of things, like. They kept throwing around, like, oh, Sean William Scott is going to be, you know, in it, or Ashton Kutcher is going to be in it, and, you know, I will still give the movie a fair chance if they go that route, but they're, like I said, they're doing the wrong fucking thing. You know what would work, though?
Totally wrong.
You know what would work? The fucking Lonely Island guys and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
If those four guys, that would fucking be awesome.
They basically, it's like they don't get the concept. They're like, well, as long as we write a funny script, we can put whatever actors we want. But you shouldn't put actors in. You should put comedians in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, or comedic actors.
It's like that Beastie Boys video that they made for their last album where they had, like, every funny person who, you know, in the world is in this one video. Did you see that?
I think.
I'll have to show it to you during the next break. Just
from their new album?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, they had, like, Will Ferrell, Rainn Wilson, friggin' Danny McBride. It's like, there's so many awesome people that... You know, if they...
I probably didn't recognize a lot of them.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's, you know... I didn't mean for us to talk about Ghostbusters for this
Seth,
long, but...
Seth Rogen as a Ghostbuster, that would kick ass!
That would fucking rule.
That would just, like, kick my ass from here to fucking, next Tuesday.
Fucking Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh.
Imagine if, like...
There's
like,
so many cool
imagine, like, if,
people
like, the
you
Joss,
could get.
The Joss Whedon sector, if it was, like, Neil Patrick Harris, Nathan Fillion... And of course, we need some women in there too, you know.
Yeah, they're gonna. They said they're gonna have a chick in there, but I don't know. Tina Fey. No.
Tina.
Not so much.
Well,
I don't know that many comedians.
Well, imagine if it was like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Maya Rudolph, Kristen Wiig. Rachel Dratch, like just get the whole SNL power women, you know, like all in one big group.
Maya Rudolph is that one that was in Bridesmaids, isn't she?
Yeah,
and she was in some other shit. She was in Idiocracy.
Yeah,
I love her. She's awesome. I just automatically love anything she's in just because she's in it.
She's in a new sitcom that just started. Here's something else that I could bring up because I was thinking about talking about this. So, I am desperate for the new TV season to start. This time of year, I can't stand it because I'm just so clawingly desperate. It's my shows! Bring back my shows! Ah! You know, so I get, like, the Entertainment Weekly, and it's like, Entertainment Weekly, that will tell me when the shows happen! When are the shows? In fact, I will show you something that will make you mock me.
Can I just pre-mock you in advance?
Sure.
Okay. You suck. You're mockable. You're silly.
Where the fuck did I put it?
Should we pause?
No, wait. Here it is. I did this at work during downtime.
Oh, like a spreadsheet?
With the help of Entertainment Weekly's Fall TV Guide.
A handwritten calendar.
A handmade calendar so that I could write down when the season premieres of all of the new shows are that I either watch or were considering watching so that I could... properly program the new TiVo, and because it only lets me go out 2 weeks in advance, so as of the other day, I'm caught up to September 25th, which means I'm programmed for Nerdist now, which is awesome. So at this point, I could probably add Terra Nova, but then the rest of these are kind of dangling on later.
Yeah.
House, Chuck, Grimm, Walking Dead, and these other ones. So
anyway.
So I'm just desperate for, like, I want my shows, and there's some new shows starting I'm vaguely interested in. So out of my desperation for new shows, I TiVo'd and watched two new sitcoms on NBC. One is called Up All Night, and the other one is called Free Agents. And they were both okay.
Mm-hmm.
I probably liked Free Agents more, but Up All Night is with Christina Applegate, Will Arnett, and Maya Rudolph. And Christina Applegate and Will Arnett are... a young married couple who have a baby, and Maya Rudolph plays a woman who is a talk show host who has a very Oprah type of show. Her character's name is Ava. So it's essentially Maya Rudolph took her Oprah Winfrey impression from Saturday Night Live and co-opted it into this new character that's supposed to be very Oprah Winfrey-like. And Christina Applegate works for her.
Okay.
So, you know, and like I said, it definitely had some funniness to it, but didn't like, it's not a must-see show, in my opinion.
Okay.
The other show is called Free Agents, and it's a American remake of a British sitcom that was successful, and it stars Hank Azaria, who we've talked about previously this year on the podcast. He's from The Simpsons,
yes.
And he was Gargamel. And by the way, even if you think the Smurfs movie is a piece of shit, and it pretty much is, he fucking rocked as Gargamel.
So you actually saw that movie?
I saw that movie. I went in...
What the hell was Neil Patrick Harris in there anyway?
Getting paid?
I mean, no. Well, wait, let me
go back to the Smurfs after I finish this thought, and... But anyway, so basically, Hank Azaria plays like a PR person at a PR firm who has sex with someone else, some woman in his office whose husband just passed away, or fiance passed away in the past year. So it's all about middle-agey guys trying to figure out how to restart their lives because he just got divorced and blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
And and Anthony Stewart Head is in it. So that has a bonus British, you know, Giles,
ooh.
Buffy. You know.
Yeah, of course.
So... So, you know,
I'm just wondering what he looks like nowadays.
The same, just a little older, a little wrinklier, but he's very funny on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I like Free Agents a little bit better, you know, and I'll probably continue to watch them because I'm, like I said, I'm desperate for shows. But Sarah pointed out that both of these sitcoms seem like, you know, one's about this Oprah type woman, the other one's about a publicity agent. It just, they both very much feel like, we are writers who live in Hollywood and are part of the Hollywood system, and we don't know how to write about people who live in the middle of the country
anymore.
There's
a lot of,
you know,
shows and movies where stuff like... I mean, have you noticed how many characters in movies are writers?
Yeah.
You know, let's see. Did the screenwriter possibly have some inspiration to do that?
But it's just kind of like, you know, it's just shows about people who work in shows.
Yeah.
You know, or something to that effect. You know, and it just kind of seems like, you know, it'd be nice that... You know,
it'd be nice to have the next Roseanne or something.
Yeah. So, anyway, the Smurfs. I actually did go see the Smurfs because, as we've established, I enjoy seeing movies so much, I will see shitty movies just to be part of the movie-watching experience. I know that sounds stupid to everyone else in the world, but it genuinely makes me happy to go see films.
The Smurfs 3D, directed by Michael Bay.
Yes. So, I went into the Smurfs with low expectations... And it exceeded those expectations, you know, by...
A little bit.
a little bit. I still wouldn't recommend it to anybody else, but at least I thought it was going to be... This is going to
be
the...
So if you're going to see a movie like that, go see the fucking Chipmunks, not the fucking Smurfs.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I went in thinking, this is probably going to be the worst piece of shit ever, and I left thinking, oh, it wasn't the worst piece of shit ever. the thing that made me really lower my expectations was that I heard that there was a Smurf rap in it. And I'm like, oh god, that's going to be horrible. But the actual scene in question is Neil Patrick Harris, who plays, he's an advertising agent.
Yes.
And how the fuck the Smurfs ended up in his, like,
they were in his office for some
reason? They open up a wormhole from Smurf Medieval Land to modern New York, basically Central Park, and then they're running from Gargamel and his cat, Azrael, who was voiced by Frank Welker, who, you know, which was a real cat mixed with CGI, but the real cat noises were still Frank Welker, who was the original Azrael from the cartoon.
Oh.
So, you know, also Megatron. But anyway, it was just kind of like to have that little hint of the original show. It's like, yeah, that's a nice touch. That makes it suck less. Anyway, so like they're in Central Park, they don't know what to do, they're running from the cat, and then they fall into like a box of items that Neil Patrick Harris is like, oh, I need to take these perfume promotions back to my office to do more advertising work, and then they end up back at his apartment, and then the chick with the gigantic eyes from Glee is in it too, as his wife who is pregnant. So, anyway, so the rap scene in question was at one point when Neil gets done with his, you know, stressful work. He starts playing. He has a rock band, so he's playing Rock Band or Guitar Hero or whatever. So the Smurfs are playing it with him, and the song they're playing is Walk This Way.
Oh.
So it's like, so like for
so a few... So it could be worse.
So the only thing is like, for a couple seconds there, you see like three of the Smurfs are like, you know, Smurfing, you know, just kind of, you know, they were saying some of the lyrics of the song, and then it was like
replacing words with Smurfing.
Yeah, and then you know, like this, and then back to playing the instrument. So it wasn't like they were like, hey, we're the Smurfs, and we're here to say we like drinking Shasta and eating hay. You know, it wasn't like that. So it's like, all right.
Sorry, microphone.
So yeah, the movie wasn't a total piece of shit, and the best part of the film is Hank Azaria as Gargamel. Although I will say once again, I'm happy and shocked and delighted and shocked again that Papa Smurf was voiced by a veteran comedian, Jonathan Winters. It's like, how the fuck did that happen? You know?
did you catch up to the Mishki where, I think it's Mishki, where he talks about the history of the Smurfs? Do you have any idea how
old the Smurfs are?
Fucking, and they come from, like, fucking France and
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, I knew all that.
I didn't know all that I shit. Knew,
and actually, they actually mentioned some of that shit in the
they
movie.
They come from, like, the 40s or something?
Yeah, this artist named... I think his name was Peyo. And they actually mention him and all that... you know, Smurf lore in the movie. So they actually, you know, paid homage to that and yeah. stuff in the film. Wow. So it's like, you know, but as I was saying, Jonathan Winters, it's like Hollywood big suits, like you were just talking about. It's like, oh, we need to get Steve Carell. We need to get Will Ferrell. We need to get Jim Carrey to play Papa Smurf. Fuck that. They actually cast fucking Jonathan Winters, someone who makes sense to play Papa Smurf. You know, now, an old guy.
What else is he in so that...
See, that's the thing. He has done so little in the past couple of decades. It's hard for me to point to something and say that's Jonathan Winters. He's like the Robin Williams of 30 or 40 years ago. Actually, Mork and Mindy. Did you ever watch the original Mork and Mindy?
Yeah.
Remember when they had a son and he was older and he came out of an egg and he was and so
kind
like
vaguely.
So like Mork's son was kind of this old fat guy.
Yeah.
That was Jonathan Winters.
Oh, okay.
I'll look him up on Internet Movie Database, and so that you can. It's okay. I remember once I was brought up Jonathan Winters in front of Stephanie, you know, 10 years ago. She didn't know who he was either.
Well,
so.
I mean, I'd when it comes to anything, I'd rather just learn something on the spot than to pretend like I know. Oh yeah, you know.
But yeah, he did a bunch of comedy albums. He was really great with improv and characters. In fact. And Mishki's brought this up before, like, there was one point where he, like, got so into a character that he couldn't really get out of it, and he kind of had to check into a nut house for a while to kind of, you know, get out of that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely recognize the name.
Yeah, but just the fact that, you know, somebody like Jonathan Winters, who, you know, was able to, you know, do this part and get paid, and, you know, it's like... Piece of shit movies like The Smurfs, it's like, you know what? At least if people I like are getting paid, I'm not going to complain about it too much.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris got paid. Hank Azaria got paid, you know.
So, in summary, Smurfs bad, Chipmunks okay, Ghostbusters starring Seth Rogen awesome.
Yeah.
And let's do a song break.
And personally, I'd rate Chipmunks higher than okay.
Let's do a song break.
Let's do a song break. And, hey, we actually had content. How about
Yay.
That?
Yay.
Oh, so this song break is an all TV's Kyle song break because Woo! I got the new TV's Kyle CDs, you know, that he replaced after the other ones got stolen, and I listened to them and I enjoyed them. So here is stuff from that I like, plus another track that was a bonus track that you can download for free at his website, tvskyleband.com. So here is TV's Kyle. Yay!
Yay!
Which one it's not? No, dude. That one's a hamster. That is totally a hamster. That all? Are you even trying? Yes. That's a hamster. It's a good question. It's not a guinea pig. It's a hamster.
Yeah, buddy. That one's a vacuum tube. Good eye, man. That's not a hamster. That is a vacuum tube. Good night, everybody!
It's The Muppet Show with our very special guest star, Alan Chase. Yay!
It's time to dress up right. It's time to raise the curtain on the Muppet Show tonight.
Why do we always come here?
I guess we'll never know.
It's like a kind of torture to have to watch the show.
And now let's get things started.
Why don't you get things started?
It's time to get things started at the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational. This is what we call the Muppet Show.
Floating princess? Did someone say floating princess? Folks, if you're anything like me, there's nothing you like more than waking up at 5 in the morning on a Saturday to strut on over to your local theater and enjoy the many consecutive adventures of the floating princess. Thrill and spill as she twirls and unfurls her many outrageous escapades for the children's and the adults alike. Now, folks, if some clod came up to me on the street and said, "Hey, brother, you should check out this thing," I would tell him he was absolutely nuts. So you don't have to take just my word for my word. Give a listen and a care to these peoples who have their very own opinions about the floating princess.
I was working minimum wage, making no money, and taking care of my baby. And I thought, like, what am I doing with my life, you know? Yeah. And that's when I found out about Floating Princess. Floating Princess got me a career. So get off your couch. And if I can do it, so can you.
My daddy has a puppy dog. And he keeps, I think his butt is itchy. Because he keeps rubbing it on the carpet. And I told my dad, I saw... this commercial while I was watching SpongeBob.
Popular children's program.
Bob, and it's for something called the Floating Princess. And I told him you should get some for Poochie. And so he went and he got some, and Poochie still rubs his butt on the floor. But now it smells like flowers.
But it's not just about the women folk. No siree doogie. There are many men who are also interested in the many escapades and uses of the floating princess. Observe with your ear bones.
When I was in a car accident, the floating princess won me $2.4 million.
The floating princess is honestly the worst product I've ever had the displeasure of consuming. It said right on the neon packaging that once I swallowed it, the giant pterodactyl that kept bothering me would disappear. Not only did it not disappear, but now it's eating all my laundry detergent.
Well, okay, clearly that last guy is not quite right, Nikasaba. But other than that, no one can deny the floating princess and her many magical thingies. Folks, I'm not going to plead. I'm not going to beg. I am merely going to insist that you all race on over to your radio or your local theater or, you know, the grocery store and get yourself a heaping helping of the floating princess.
There's an action figure on my desk. It's the raddest and it's the best. It's a big blue muscle-bound Mandarin man with a color-changing chest. He was born in New Jersey, the protector of the sea. Jack Finney was his name, but it isn't anymore, and he's totally the best. Red stuff. In fact, he's a lot like Aquaman, but he's not completely lame like Aquaman. I kinda wanna rub his ears. The Ninja Turtles were his friends. Mutanimals, his loyal band. Then they killed all those guys off. I retcon that out in my mind. I drew him when I was a kid. I sent it in and flipped my lid. They colored it and printed it in issue number. His name was originally Man Ray, but the action figure was Ray Fillet. There's a video game where they just call him Ray, just to make him hard to Google today. This comic book, I will always have the action figure on my desk where I work all the time, and I can see it smile back.
Okay, so we just heard TV's Kyle, and I wanted to point out, because the song we just heard is his title track
that
from his last album.
That thing's not playing in our recording, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Ray Fillet is the name of his last album, and in the song Ray Fillet, which we just heard, he mentions that as a kid, he sent in fan art to Mighty Mutanimals, and they colored it in and printed it in issue number 5. Well, lo and behold, I have Mighty Mutanimals issue number 5, which I dug out of my closet today, and if we turn to the back, right there.
Top right? Yep. Oh.
Man Ray, Kyle Carroza, Catskill, New York.
Awesome.
So
I didn't know he was from New York.
Apparently so. He's from New York. So that's a very awesome picture of Man Ray. If we don't have anything else to put up as the image for the show, yeah. I'll just make this the image for the show.
I was also going to draw you a picture of the way I drew myself as a girl.
Okay. We can do that.
Attempt to.
We can do that. So, yeah. So, congratulations to TV's Kyle for getting art put into a 19-year-old comic book that I happen to have with me that I've saved since then.
I don't think it's still a subject of congratulations 19 years later, but...
So, anyway...
What's Luke plugging now?
What's at the Fump? What's at the
Floating Princess? Here, you read that.
Songs. Hukulele by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. What?
I think it's meant to be pronounced Hulk-a-lele.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard it yet. I just saw the H-U and the Kalele. Hulk-a-lele by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. I Have a Tuba by Kobe LaCroix. My Face by Steve Goody. I'm That Type of Spy by the Great Luke Ski. Pirate Ship by TV's Kyle featuring Insane Ian and Austin
Eichelman.
If you're wondering if I'm stalking you, I'm stalking you, Insane Ian. Thank you, Gilligan, Money Shot, Cosmonauts, and Elevator, Cirque du Soit.
All right, and Cirque du Soit's album Stupid Cowboy Thing continues to exist, and you can purchase it at thefump.com.
You can purchase it.
You can also purchase Be Amused by Me from LukeSki.com. There are interstitial sketches that you haven't heard.
And aren't going to get to hear if you don't buy it.
Yeah. And TV's Kyle is in them.
Louisville.
Yeah. So go to LukeSki.com and get Be Amused by Me. Dr. Domino Show, please listen to the show and please, 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 please request the song Snoopy the Dog. For the Dr. Demento Show, I'm hoping it will be number one. This coming week is the top 10 for September. I really hope Snoopy the Dog makes it onto the chart in a high position so it can stay on top.
In my choir, the other day I discovered some yet one of those other people that, you know, listened to Dr. Demento and loved Dr. Demento and didn't know Dr. Demento was still alive, much less still producing shows. So I got to fill someone in on that.
Cool.
And the Fump.
Awesome. So, yeah, if you ever want to grab a bunch of my business cards that have, like, all those links on the back to make it easier for people, you could just be like, oh, here's a bunch of links.
I don't think it's often enough that I'm going to start carrying your business cards.
It was nice at Gen Con, some guy was at the table, and he, like, was looking through the orange pamphlet, and he goes, Dr. Demento, $2? And I'm like, yes, you know, and basically, you know, suddenly opened up his world to, like, holy shit, I can listen to Dr. Demento every week for $2, and
yeah,
gave him the whole spiel. So I hope Dr. D got another listener. Tour dates coming up this weekend, September 23rd through 25th, is Conception in Glen Allen, Illinois at College of DuPage. ConcentricConventionCompany.com is their website. I'll be there on the 23rd and 24th and doing at least one show on the 24th. Possibly two. I need to double check with another gig I may have that day doing caricatures. Right now I'm planning on doing shows at 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. And I got a call about a caricature gig in Arlington Heights. Or not a call. I got an email, and I'm going to look into seeing if I could possibly work that into that day. I've had so many freaking people ask me about working on September 24th. It's insane. So, anyway... speaking of September 24th, that's when Geekies, the episode 2, happens. September 24th, 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. It's free. It's 21 and over. Chicago, Illinois. All the rest of the details are at my website, lukeski.com, on the main page and on the tour dates page. They have a Facebook page, so do a Facebook search for Geekies, episode 2. I'm sure you'll find it. There's going to be a geeky burlesque there. There's going to be Nostalgia Critic. It'll be fun and wacky. Then the weekend after that is Archon 35, September 30th through October 2nd in Collinsville, Illinois, back where it used to be, back where it should be. I need to double check when my performance is, and I'm really dropping the ball on follow-up here, because I should have known concretely by now when I'm performing, so I need to do that first thing tomorrow, is contact them and make sure that my show is happening on Sunday afternoon, as it usually is in the LaSalle room. Website is archonstl.org/35. That's archonstl.org/35. And Sarah will be with me, and we'll undoubtedly be visiting her family that weekend. And finally, artbylukeski.com. If you're in the Chicagoland tri-state area, you can hire me to come draw caricatures at your party or event. Details are at artbylukeski.com. Please book me so that I can have days where I make more money.
And we'll be at Con on the Cob.
Yes, we'll be at Con on the Cob. I didn't add that to the list yet, but we'll be there, and there'll be awesome things, like the Logan Awards. So, cool. What shade of pink are you wearing, Carrie?
I'm not wearing pink today.
Oh, noes. Why not? Are you blue?
Yeah, I'm wearing blue.
Oh, okay. All right, so moving on to, the ignorance portion of the podcast. There's two things. One is an audio thing and one is a video thing. So, Carrie needs to hear the audio thing.
Okay.
So I'm going to stop recording so she can hear the audio thing.
All right, this is Luke Ski reporting live from Key Lime Cove. And I want to point something out here. I found an earworm worse than the other earworm that people have been enjoying lately, thanks to Cirque du Soir. There is a redemption ticket game thing based on Wheel of Fortune that is about 20 to 30 feet away from me. It has been playing the same guitar riff when no one else is playing and it's just on standby. It plays the same guitar riff over and over and over and over again, and it sounds suspiciously like the theme to Thundercats. Let me walk toward it and see if it is in fact doing it. Let's see. You hear it?
That's fabulous.
Thunder, 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 cats. Thunder, thunder, whoops, okay. Thunder, 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 cats. Again. Thunder, 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 cats.
one more time. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. This goes on for hours. Thunder, thunder, thunder. Oh, and it skipped again. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. I don't know what this music has to do with Wheel of Fortune. But the people who make Thundercats sue the hell out of these guys. This is so obviously the Thundercats riff. Thunder, thunder, Thundercats.
Give it a try.
Thunder, 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 Thundercats. For hours upon hours upon end. Always floating there in the back of my consciousness as I try to draw. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. Wheel of Torture. Thunder, 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 Thundercats. All right, that's enough.
So what do you think of that?
So while we were playing it, I confirmed that you're just trying to get it in our heads with the length of that.
Yes.
I definitely don't think it's worse than Elevator, considering you're not going to get your ass kicked for singing Thunder, 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 Thundercats, you know. But I can see how it would get in your head and stay in your head.
I played
forever.
It for Sarah last night, and she's like, okay, we got the point about 30 seconds into it. It goes on way too long. I'm like, well, you see, I have to listen to it for 2, 3, 4 hours at a time. I'm just trying to, you know, give an accurate, you know, cross-section of it. So
and
anyway.
Now you see why my phone is named Oopsie. Yeah, so, I'll have to think of another song quickly to get that out of my head, and not Elevator.
So, the other thing, and this is a visual thing, and unfortunately I don't even have the visual, but down in the area where I draw, there's a bunch of, you know, picnic tables set up, but, you know, there's signs on the wall that are, like, kind of carved in wood, you know, like, it's not like someone just printed it up on a printer and stuck it to the wall. It's part of the decor that says in, you know, big carved out painted letters, you know, no outside food or drink in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And last night when I had like a brief moment of break, I stood up and I looked over in the direction of those tables and that sign. And there was this dude sitting there with like, you know, a half a dozen different KFC receptacles around him, and he's eating his food right next to the sign that says no outside food or drink in this area. And I was, like, so trying to ninja my way of, like, snapping a photo of it so that could have been the photo for this episode.
Yeah.
But I can't remember exactly what happened or distracted me. Maybe somebody came up and got a drawing, and by the time I was done, he had thrown his stuff away and then took off or something. But
yeah,
just seeing that, it's like, really, dude? You couldn't even pick a table not next to the big sign that tells you you're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah.
So, anyway. That's it for that for this week. So, did you have any ignorant stories of your own?
No.
So, okay, we have a comment. It's technically from episode 46.
Costume Queen says, "Hi, Luke and Carrie. This is Julie. I listened to this podcast and enjoyed it a lot. I picked up the podcast CD at Gen Con and LMAO, so I decided to give the podcast a try. This is only maybe the second podcast I have ever listened to in my life. I liked hearing about what you guys did at Gen Con, but Luke, you need to mention that you did the intermission show at the costume contest. I'm sorry I missed your Saturday night concert, but I get really tired after doing the costume contest all day. I don't know how you do it, working your booth all day, singing a mini concert at the costume contest, and then doing your full concert at 9 p.m. You are amazing. By the way, congrats to Carrie on the baby. Very great news. Back to this podcast. I want to say I really enjoyed Carrie doing the staying fat skit. You hit the tone of it just right. And I also like the stats of grammar that you recited. As an English teacher, I found that amusing. We'll definitely check out future podcasts. You guys really make me laugh. You are a great team. Now, if I can only figure out how to get these onto my droid, by the way, more droid sounds on the podcast would rock." Thanks, Costume Queen, Julie.
Well, there's definitely an app for getting podcasts on your phone. I know I have one on mine. I guess I'll just take it out and look at it and see what it's called. I think it's just called Listen.
I don't know. You can also just go to the website and download the MP3 directly to your folder. Yeah,
this one I have is called Listen. Google Listen Labs, something like that. So, yeah, I'm able to get Big Book of Everything on here. So, talking about the Gen Con costume contest, I thought that we had mentioned that in our coverage, but...
Perhaps we did not.
Or perhaps we just kind of, you know, glossed over it quickly and didn't go into detail.
I technically got there on time where I could have joined Luke for the...
Fanboy Christmas 3,
but I didn't have any makeup on, so that's why I wouldn't go up there.
Well, it's like, the thing with the Gen Con costume contest is, there's a certain aspect to it that gets me down a little bit, because I have such great memories of the costume contest back in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And even of the costume contest during the first few years it was in Indianapolis, when it seemed that everyone who used to go to it in Milwaukee decided to make the journey every year to Indianapolis.
And it was more of a Wisconsin thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think the Wisconsin audiences are nice and polite and appreciative, and they laugh a lot, and they're very supportive. Starting in about 2007, I began to notice that disappearing. Basically, because I'd come out to start doing my show, and people were just getting up and leaving in droves. And it's been, it's kind of like getting, having my soul getting kicked in the nuts right before I have to step out on stage and perform every year there. Because every year since 07, it's gotten worse, where it's like, oh, that's the final contestant. And then, blah, 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 a bunch of things are said, and then blah, 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 okay, and now it's time for Luke Ski. And by the time we get to that point where I step on stage and my music starts, this year, I mean, seriously, it felt like 75% of the audience had left. That's probably inaccurate, but that's how it felt.
There was a lot of people in there.
You know, it's like, but just seriously, it's not even like a few people are getting up. No, masses of people are getting up and leaving. And this year, it was worse, because the guy running the sound thought that, oh, well, the last entry is kind of long, I'm going to run to the bathroom.
Oh, so, really?
So when Julie introduced me, I'm like, start the song. I told him, I'm not going to come out and grab the mic because I'm in this costume. I want to have a costume reveal, so that's part of my nifty thing, is I walk out on stage to the music in my costume and start the song. So I'm back there. I can't see where the microphone is because the microphone that was on stage got put on the floor again. I'm waiting for the music to start, and the music isn't starting. And I yelled something like, start the music now. And apparently nobody was back there. And some other assistant realized, oh, shit, nobody's here to start his music. And somebody tried to scramble. And I don't know if it was the other person or if it was the main person. Finally, my music started. But by then it was too late. Half the audience had left. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there doing Snoopy the dog, with my sunglasses on, with my eyes closed, trying not to, work myself up into a rage while I'm performing, because the audience fucking left, or half of them did. And I used to not have a table in the dealer's area. I used to do all my sales at the show itself, and I used to make hundreds of dollars at that show.
Yeah.
And now nobody gives a fuck. If I make $100, selling stuff after the show there, I consider that a big victory now. Granted,
they can get the CD in the dealer's room. And
yeah, but it just...
It's not fair to say nobody gives a fuck.
So if
less people give a fuck, that doesn't mean nobody gives a fuck.
And it's like, in my mind, I try to... It's once again, I have a problem with boundaries. I have a problem with controlling things that I can't control. And, it's like a... It's just the new paradigm. It's just the way it is. So, all of that being said, the people who stayed and watched the show really enjoyed the show. And it was cool to get to do the third Fanboy Christmas, at Gen Con. I remember the first Fanboy Christmas went over... so freaking hugely. It was amazing. And no, actually, wait. The very first time I performed it, the background music I had was just like a piano only demo that Daniel had sent me. And then the following year, I did it again with the full music.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a number of years later, I did Fanboy Christmas 2. This year, my set was Snoopy the Dog and Fanboy Christmas 3, and that's all I had time for. Because that's the other aspect that is gone that I miss, is the whole stalling for time thing. Back in the old days, I'd always have to have stuff on backup because they always needed me to stall for time.
They went and got more efficient with their processes.
So, yeah. So I used to do a 40-minute show every year, and now I do a 15-minute show at best. In fact, last year, I only did 12 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like I love Gen Con, and I want to keep coming back there and performing every year.
Ooh,
at the
that
costume
reminds
contest.
Me, I think one time at Dragon Con, we were performing during the Star Wars costume contest, and they literally cut you off in the middle of a song.
We were opening for the Star Wars costume contest because that was 2008. That was the year that they didn't inform me that I was going to be allowed to perform there until 3 weeks before the convention.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to book things way far in advance. So I couldn't get in to perform at the Star Wars costume contest as usual. So I talked them into letting me open for them. And
that isn't even the year I was thinking of. I was thinking of an earlier year when you were in the middle of Peter Parker and they cut you off and stopped you.
That, I think, was because I had already run through all of my Star Wars material when I was stalling for time.
Yeah,
so I did Peter Parker.
Yeah, but
you know what else I remember about that?
You were in the middle of a song.
You know what else I specifically remember about that performance, besides the fact that Daniel Logan, who was young Boba Fett, and Ray Park, who was Darth Maul, as they were judging and they had, like, exited and I was performing, they, like, reached up to shake my hands while I was performing a song.
Yeah.
And so that was cool. But here's being Peter Parker, I'm doing it, and I got to that line, "God damn that Stan Lee made my day." And I remember I said, "God damn that," and as I'm continuing to say that line, I saw one of the women who was running the contest just kind of go, like, she was near the front of the stage, like, just like, "No!" Like, panicky, like, "Ugh!" You know, like, I said "God damn," like, "Oh no, I'm in the Bible Belt. Somebody heard me say the words "God damn" in front of this audience." And apparently, all of these Dragon Con Star Wars fans are going to be deeply offended by the phrase "God damn."
Yeah.
Which is a goddamn axe I've had to grind with society in general, that the phrase "God damn" is so, you know, we've gotten to the point where you can say, you know, on some primetime shows, they allow people to say shit, but you still can't say "God damn." I just can't say, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fucking religious zealots. So anyway, but yeah, both of those things happened. But yeah, we were halfway through Grease Wars while they were seating people for the 2008 Star Wars costume contest. And I guess they felt like, oh, people are seated, we'll just start early. And they just cut me off halfway through. That was one of the things that made me decide I never wanted to go back to Dragon Con ever again, because they fucking humiliated me in front of everybody. I went back to the table. Remember when I said I was going to talk about bitterness?
Yeah.
I went back. I ran back to the table. Sarah was there. I threw my bin of props down. I immediately took off the bowling shirt that I wore over my... Actually, no, I didn't. It wasn't immediately. I just kind of threw my stuff down, walked to the food court in the underground mall. And as I was waiting in line at Dairy Queen to get food, I actually took the bowling shirt off and held it in my hand because I didn't want people to recognize me. You know,
I don't think that alone keeps them from recognizing you.
Because somebody did recognize me, and I was forced to chat with someone in line, and I had to tell them, yeah, I just got booed off stage at the Star Wars costume contest. Or not booed off, but I got kind of
kicked off.
Yeah, kicked off stage, and when it happened, there were people in the audience that applauded and were happy about it. So, you know... You know, it's like...
With experiences like that, I can't entirely blame you for wanting to change direction in life.
Yeah.
Knowing that another experience like that could be around any corner.
You know, and it's... The fact that I've been performing professionally, you know, so to speak, if you can call this professionally, at science fiction conventions for 15 years now... You know, and back when I started, I was desperately yearning for something like this whole notion of nerdy comedy to be a presence, to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was before there was any Wootstocks, before there was any Nerdist podcast, before there was any of that whole notion. And now that these things exist, the fact that I'm not involved in them really bothers me and bums me the fuck out, and it's all I can do to become a bitter asshole about the fact that I'm not involved. And, you know, that's why I've been talking about trying to find new projects to do in my life so that I can concentrate my energy into making other positive things that will bring me personal happiness, even if they aren't projects that are going to make me money. They're things that'll fulfill me as a person and make me happy, like creating an animated film or making new puppet videos or, even the songs I make being made because I feel like making them and making them at my own pace, not because they're on a schedule and not because I think they'll play well to the Dr. Demento Show fans or to, to people who I perform for at conventions, just making songs that I want to make, even if they're not funny or meant to be funny.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm, I'm kind of at an artistic crossroads in my life, but at least I have a new album that I've released so that when I go perform at cons, I have a whole bunch of new songs I can perform, that I'm happy about to people who seem happy to hear them, and hopefully they'll buy my new album.
Yeah.
And Cirque du Soleil, I should mention that too. Cirque du Soleil is one of the most artistically satisfying things I have done in the past few years of my life, and I love it so much. And I can't wait for the next album to come out so people can hear all the other new stuff that I wrote and that we all performed and it was mastered.
Just fun going out there.
Yeah.
I doubt if I'll get a chance to do that again, but. Or.
Babies make things hard.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm sorry, Julie. I hope I didn't bum you out by this long-winded, weird, twisty roller coaster ride of a response to talk about the performance you did at the costume contest at Gen Con. But I am honest to a fault, but like I said, Julie has always been one of the shining beacons of light and awesomeness that makes me want to go back and do Gen Con every year, because I know she's going to be there.
Yeah.
And that Gen Con is always better because Julie is there,
yeah,
as a friend and as a supporter and hosting the costume contest.
Julie's
and
awesome.
Saying so many nice things about me. I mean, by the time...
She has the awesomest Snow Queen costume.
Yes, and it was like she bought the CD, the Be Amused By Me CD on Friday, I think it was, or Thursday, one of those 2 days. And by the time I caught up with her at the costume contest on Saturday, she had already listened to the first half of the album and was telling me how much she loved it. So, and how much she loved, the Chuck song and everything.
Yeah.
So, it's like my main wish for Gen Con would be just to do like I did when I had the Bender costume and basically pretend that I'm, the last entry and just go out in a big costume and start doing my set so the people in the audience don't realize that my set has started, so that they're kind of forced by politeness to stay there, unless they feel really adamantly about leaving.
Yeah.
And then when one song ends, just go immediately into the next one and just do my 15 minutes uninterrupted so that people don't leave until my show is over.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like it's become, it's like, oh, it's perfectly okay. You're not being rude at all if you want to get up and leave. It's Gen
Con. I don't
know
why they think that's not rude. I think it's also part of the group mentality. Once enough people have done it, then everybody else starts thinking, well, then it must be okay.
Because I have to believe there's at least some percentage of the people who are getting up and leaving who might enjoy my show or be, turned into a fan of mine if they just gave me a chance and, gave up another 15 minutes of their Gen Con to continue sit where they were already sitting and watch me perform, So,
anyways, we should close out the show.
Okay, well, we got
a voice message.
We got a couple of voice comments. One is from Arkel, and he pointed out that I guess because it went up on the day that episode 46 was posted, he left his voice comment the same day, so I missed it the next time around. I thought that we had already played it, and we hadn't. So here is a comment from Arkel.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, it's Arkel, listening to the most recent show, and you guys got around to responding to the comments from episode 43, and I appreciate you taking the time to answer my question. well, what little answer you could give, seeing if you haven't seen it, about the Thin Red Line. And here's the thing, though. I don't remember what my rationale was for asking the question in the first place. I mean, beyond the obvious that I was going to parlay Carrie's response about the Thin Red Line into my final decision about Tree of Life, which, well, because of the gap, I just decided to wait for that one on DVD anyway. It's going to go on the Netflix queue, you know, after I've gotten, after I've finished catching up on Power Rangers. And yes, I'm watching Power Rangers on Netflix, shut up. And, but, you know, again, thanks for answering. Even though I don't remember what my thought process was in asking the question, I did like the Thin Red Line, though, so I probably will end up liking Tree of Life, but, you know, I'm weird like that. I mean, I got a movie called Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter in my top 20, so, you know, I'm weird. But that's why you guys love me. Well, like me. Well, bother to read my comments on the show.
The Tree of Life got brought up again. Ah! No, in all honesty, I love artsy shit, and I'd probably enjoy The Thin Red Line, most likely. But a lot of fans of What's-His-Face that did that, that directed both of those films, did like The Thin Red Line and did not like The Tree of Life. I'm not saying The Tree of Life doesn't have any supporters. Unfortunately, one of its supporters is Niles on Mishki's The Night Show, which is what prompted me to go to it and waste my time. But, I wouldn't assume that you're going to like it just because you like The Thin Red Line. And I'll have to check out The Thin Red Line sometime. So, do we have any other voice comments?
We have one more voice comment, and this is from Ron in Cincinnati.
Luke, hi, it's Ron from Cincinnati. I just wanted to call, say that picture that you did for my nephew at Gen Con. I finally got to give it to him for his birthday. I was delayed in seeing him, but he loved it. He thought it was awesome, and he basically wanted his picture taken with it. He was absolutely beaming, and Luke and Carrie, he's one of those people that also have a birthday that some idiot terrorist tried to make annoying, though he was born after that event. But I just wanted to say thanks. You did a great job, and you made a little kid's birthday. So good job, and enjoying the podcast, and also enjoying the CD that I bought from you at Gen Con. You know, that Amuse Me, or Let Me Amuse You. I'm forgetting. Anyway, it's a shame that Snowy sets in such a young age. Anyhow, just wanted to say thanks and wish you well. Take care. Bye.
Be amused by me.
So, cool. Thank you so much, Ron. I'm glad you liked it. If I remember correctly, I drew him as Spider-Man, I think is what he won for.
You know, you too can, or you as well can email a photo to Luke and pay him a monies to send you a caricature.
Yes, you can do that at artbyluksky.com.
Not all that expensive.
Yeah. It's less expensive than other artists who do art at places.
Yes.
Okay, so that is it. We had no new iTunes reviews. You can make comments and leave messages and iTunes reviews at various places. Comments can be left for this episode at its entry at badrapport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. You can leave messages for us at 916-LUKESKY. That's 916-585-3754. So you can be like Arkel and Ron. And then iTunes is iTunes, and you go there and you leave us a review and give us a 5-star rating, we hope.
Or you can even just give us a 5-star rating if you don't feel like writing a review.
Okay. So for the final song break, I'm going to play that song I mentioned in an episode or two ago called I Want to Be a Marine. I managed to hunt it down on YouTube and find a copy of that song. And just because I was thinking, you know what, maybe that'll be something interesting to play. Along with a couple other tunes by the Nick Adams that I'm showing to Carrie right now.
Awesome.
So, anyway, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Bad Rapport. Anything else to add, Carrie?
2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't say
fork.
Don't say tuna.
Okay. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And we'll talk to you later. This has been Bad Rapport.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thunder. Thunder. Thundercats. Ho!
Yes, yes, y'all, and you.
by the big old open field. Maybe we'll go fly a kite. Nature, 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 hey! Nature, 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 hey! Put on your bug spray here, they come out at night. Don't get the fireworks, don't you put up a fight. Gonna set off a tent, we've gotta get it up pretty soon. If you don't, I'll pick you up and throw you into a lock too. Nature, 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 hey! We're going out of nature, 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 hey! Fire the coast, you don't want your life in the woods. If you do, you'll end up and we're screwed. Hike.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.